Good morning, America. This is the Cats Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here. Sunday morning. We want to look up in the sky, and what do we see? You know, sometimes on a weekend, you have to relax. With us today is Steve Cates, otherwise known as Dr. Sky. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great, John. How about you and yours?
I am trying to enjoy the weekends more and more.
Absolutely, John. As we move into October, many people realize throughout the United States that cooler and clearer weather comes, and that gives us a great opportunity, John, to see some of the great things that are going to happen in the October skies. How about this? We get two small meteor showers, one called the Draconids, that take place around October 9th. They're known for slow-moving fireballs just after sunset. And then the big one is the Orionid meteor shower. It comes up around October the 21st and 22nd. And if you get to see that during the early morning hours looking to the east, you know, John, if you get to see any of the Orionids, you're seeing debris from the most famous comet, at least from mankind's side, Halley's Comet. How's that for an opener for October?
Wow. And how often does that come?
Every year we get that, because what happens is the Earth moves into the orbital plane of the comet itself. So we get to see this particular shower. Like all meteor showers, they come from comets. But the only problem, and I'm always honest with the audience and always shall be, the moon at that time will be coming a little bit bright in the side that it might interfere with some of your observations. But hey, if we get to see a piece of Halley's Comet, if you missed it in 1986, there you go, because it won't be back, at least for the comet, until around the year 2062.
Holy cow, 2062, I might not be around.
Well, you know, John, maybe all of us won't be around, at least, but there's one promise that October skies, they're usually good because obviously the weather gets cooler. And maybe some of those summer, like we have here in Arizona, the summer monsoon ends. And for a good part of the country, at least that's one of the best months as we move into Indian summer and then into the beauty of fall.
I heard something really peachy keen the other day, and I haven't used that word since my old pilot used to use it.
Yes.
And that Space Force, they designed new uniforms from Space Force, and they are modeled after Star Trek uniforms.
You know, John, there's kind of some truth to that, because long live and prosper, as they say, with the Star Trek theme. But it's amazing. It goes to show that our government and governments of the world are really trying to take, and they do take it very seriously, the next level of concern, not only for the military, but for all of us. From the privatized side, it's about going up to space for more of the thrill and the fun that you could do it. But the military realizes one thing, that they need to look at that next, you know, potential battleground, horrible to say here. But those uniforms, you're right, are designed after the great memory of Star Trek. Long live and prosper, right?
Tell us, what's going on with the Mars landers and the moon landers? Any new discoveries that, well, I can say wow to?
Well, John, here's a big wow for the audience. We look at the Perseverance rover, and they finally moved on to a particular rock that they find interesting enough to go literally over on top of with the rover and drill into it and save this into like a specimen canister. This is an unusual rock, and maybe they'll find maybe some early signs of life on Mars, which is quite interesting, because where the big problem from Mars is this: where the heck did the water go? That's the question that astronomers and space scientists want to answer. So this particular rock will be put into a little capsule, a little specimen capsule, to all that. And one day, not too far in the future, one of the spacecraft that they'll send to Mars will soft land there, like Elon Musk's little, you know, booster rockets that come back and soft land the Falcon 9, and they'll be able to bring that back to the Earth. So that's exciting there. But for the moon, there's going to be a series of, really kind of another race to the moon, space race, that Bezos and all these other guys with SpaceX and Elon Musk are looking to develop the lunar landers. And even the United States NASA's program, the Artemis Project, it all looks promising, but I think the timeline, John, has to be pushed back a little farther. The U.S. wanted to go back to the moon with men and women to do, you know, human landing in 2024, but I think that's a little bit unreasonable, because they're going to have to develop this technology. But the moon, as you look at it in the night sky, we just had the beautiful harvest moon. Just know that men from the planet Earth, 12 humans obviously walked on the surface of the moon. And it all looks bright and promising, John, for the future, because as I mentioned before in many of our interviews, there happens to be some isotope of helium that's on the surface of the moon. It's been laying there over billions of years as the sun and solar radiation has been hitting. It's called helium-3. And even astronauts like the great astronaut Harrison Schmitt, the only geologist to go to the moon, he's written many stories and books about this. If we could harvest helium-3 and return it to the Earth, it'd be a good fuel to be able to solve many of our petrochemical and dependence on, you know, oil-based products to generate fuel. So all this is very promising as we move on into the future, looking about privatizing of space and military, you know, the militarization of space. I hope doesn't have to be a dark day. I hope it doesn't happen that we need to do defensive measures in space. But unfortunately, it seems like that's the next level of warfare moving into space, because as we all know, if you take out some of the American satellites and other world satellites, the surveillance and reconnaissance satellites, they're now looking at weapons, ground-based weapons of lasers to shoot up into space and disable or blind spacecraft. But on the promising side, it looks very bright for robotic spacecraft exploration of the solar system and even manned exploration of the moon and then on to the planet Mars.
How far away, if he lives that long, can Elon Musk open up a hotel on the moon?
You know, John, that's been proposed a long time ago. And I remember when I lived in the New York area, my grandmother at the time, back when I was just a young boy and was born in 56, she gave me these little tickets, and they were from the Hilton hotel chain. And it said that by the year 2000, they would have a hotel on the moon. Well, I got to try to find those tickets that she had, but there's no hotel on the moon.
You want a refund?
Yeah, I want a refund, you bet. But I think just having those stubs would be worth something to somebody. But here's the point. To answer your question, it's probable that maybe within the next 30 to 40 years, we'll be able to have some sort of a hotel-like or base on the moon. And the probable location for this, astronomers and space scientists do know that they'll probably look at an area at near the south pole of the moon in a crater called Shackleton, because the crater down at the bottom does get some sort of ice. Water ice has been known and detected there. But the good point is, this particular location is good because you could have on the top of the mountain peaks, the top of the mountain peaks get sunlight. You could provide some sort of solar power to the base down below, because the problem on the moon is if you're out in exposed sunlight, the temperatures get well over 212 degrees Fahrenheit. So this is an area on the moon that I would suspect would be a good place for a hotel, because the environment, in quotes, would be conducive to developing that. So this wouldn't sit in the hot sun and not be, you know, and not be able to be built or function.
Steve Cates, Dr. Sky, thank you for, on a Sunday morning, making our mind wander. And that
well, thank you, John. It's always a privilege and honor to be with you and the audience here on your show. So thanks again.
Well, God bless. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.